I speak to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oftentimes I am hemmed in by what I imagine is the small realm of the possibilities of my life and of the working of the world, right? And then something happens that smashes through kind of the small box of what I think is possible in the world. So yesterday, my wife received a text with a picture on it from Jeanette Nagel, and in there, she had on this, in this picture, she had Mary Lou on a horse, right? And I thought to myself, oh my God, I have just seen the second coming of Jesus Christ. Anything is possible now. And she had this look on her face like, I'm about ready to take off and go to the moon, right? Okay, so now I know that anything is possible, and all of those things that I thought yesterday before seeing this picture were impossible, all of them are indeed possible. In fact, much of what we consider possible or impossible is really just a matter of what we desire and all of the things that stand in the way of what we desire. Right, so like at the 8 o'clock service, Father Ian said, when I was 12 years old, I wanted to be just like Michael Jordan, but something stood in the way of it, and it was the fact that he was short. And I said, I had that same problem when I was 12 years old. The impossibility of playing for the Chicago Bulls was that I was very small. Oftentimes what we think is possible or impossible is limited by what our ego desires and what our ego imagines stands in the way of getting what we want. I want this, you know, like I want a really nice sports car. All that stands in the way of that sports car is $75,000, right? Right, and now, Joe and I know that's an insurmountable sum, right? Right? Absolutely, he says, right? All right. We oftentimes think, though, that all of these impossible things are just impossible because they're impossible out there, when in reality, they're only impossible because of the way we see the world and the expectation of what we can get or we cannot get. And I am more guilty of that reality than anybody else that I know, except Father Ian, who still thinks that he has a chance of being 6'7". Don't tell him I said that. So the reality then is that a lot of the lens of what we think is possible or impossible is through the lens of the ego and imagining that there are all these things that we cannot have, that even though we desire them. And so the world is hemmed in by the impossibility of the fulfillment of our desire. Now, our reading today begins with Paul to the second letter to Timothy saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And right there, he is telling us loads. First, he tells us, Timothy, and us included, who he is. This is Paul, your friend Paul. And second, he says, Timothy, I want to remind you that I'm an apostle, which is to say that I am sent by Jesus Christ to spread the good news of what God is doing in the world. And then third, what he says is, and by the way, I did not choose this vocation. This vocation is not what I would have chosen. I got struck on the head by Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. If it was up to me, I would have chosen to round up Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem. But no, Jesus had a different plan for me. I am called by the will of God. In other words, Paul, an apostle, somebody sent out by Jesus Christ, and this is not what he chose. This is what the will of God has chosen for him. Now, here is the paradox. And the paradox is that in him being called, in him being kind of smacked over the head by God, by the will of God, Paul has not just been a prisoner to Jesus Christ. He has indeed found his freedom. Now, this paradox of being called by Jesus Christ, being called by the will of God, and also being free is what Paul will say is the problem of our small ego. Our small ego wants what it wants, right? And it says, I'm not free until I get everything that I want. And until I get everything that I want, I'm not free. And what Paul says is this, when I was called by Jesus Christ, by the will of God, what it is that I desire no longer mattered in how small my freedom was circumscribed. In fact, now I am free because I have been called by Jesus Christ, by the will of God. No longer am I living in the small realm of what my ego desires. No longer is my freedom determined by what I want and what I can't have. But my freedom is determined by the will of God drawing me into who God desires me to be, who God has truly created me to be. And then he goes on and he says, to my beloved Timothy. Now on the surface, you would read that and say, oh, well, this is just his friend Timothy. This is his friend Timothy and him. They go back a long way. And the reason that Timothy is beloved to him is just because they're friends. No. What Paul is going to wind up telling Timothy is, you are my beloved because we are yoked together in Christ, because our work as evangelists, as apostles, being called by God, by the will of God together, you are my beloved. You see, what Paul is going to show Timothy is there are no accidents in their lives. They did not just bump into one another because they're apostles. No, they were both called by the will of God to do the work of God, to evangelize and make known how God is loving and redeeming God's people. And he says, you're my beloved, and I'm your beloved because we've both been called by God to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news, in fact, is it's not an accident that in the body of Christ, you and I love one another. Now, in this world, we sometimes imagine that everybody who's bumped into us in this life has just kind of bumped into us accidentally, right? Like, oh my goodness, it's just one accident after another, right? But when people ask me, what's the best part of your day? Or what's the best part of your week, Father Robert? And I always say, the best part of my week is standing by the back door of the church, waiting to see who God brings to me again. Knowing that it is no accident that you are here and that I am here. Now, sometimes when you first meet somebody, you go, boy, it was kind of cool meeting this person. I don't know why we've met. I don't know how we bumped into one another, but we had a great conversation. And sometimes it takes us years to figure out why we actually bumped into that person. I think this parish is still trying to figure out why I'm their pastor, in fact. We'll get to that in a couple of years. So, he says to Timothy, my beloved Timothy. Okay. And then he goes on a little further. And he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. be upon you. Now let's hear that. What he is telling Timothy is this. Did you know that in the body of Christ, you have grace and mercy and peace being poured out upon you? Did you know that that is what God offers us day in and day out in the body of Christ? So now, what is grace? You've got this thing, grace, that's being poured out upon you. Oh, grace is God's yes for us. God's grace, God's yes of love for us. God's yes of love that is bearing salvation to us because God loves us and because God has called us and chosen us. Barbara, is it good to be loved? Of course it's good to be loved. Is it good to be loved by God? Of course. Is it good that God has called you by name to be loved? I hope so. That's exactly right. And that's what Paul is not only saying to Timothy, but to each and every one of us. Did you know that you are having God's yes with your name being poured down upon you? Did you know that God desires that you be loved and redeemed, that you be who it is that he called you to be? And second of all, he says, did you know that you have God's mercy all around you? That in spite of all of your shortcomings, the fact that you're only 5'9", Father Robert, God still loves you and is forgiving you. No matter how much of a screw-up you think you are, God's mercy, God's forgiveness is being poured out upon you. And third, did you know that the peace of God is being poured out upon you? Did you know that in the body of Christ, no matter what crazy nonsense is happening to you in the world, God indeed is pouring out his peace upon you? The last two things we do every single time we meet at Holy Cross. First, I give a blessing. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, be poured out upon you so that when you go out into that world, you might have the protection of God's peace against all of the crazy nonsense of the world. That you might take the divine peace of God with you and know that you are surrounded and protected by all of the craziness ripping people apart. And the last thing we do, which is usually what Mother Molly does, she says, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace some way. Know that God has given you the peace which protects you when you go out into the world from all of the craziness of the world. And he says to Timothy, this is who I am, and this is who you are. There are no accidents about what brought us together. We are being called, and we are being claimed, and we are having God's grace and mercy and peace poured down upon us each and every day in the body of Christ. And then he says, I am grateful. I am grateful to God because you have been brought into my life. I am grateful because the things that are impossible for me and my small desires are indeed possible in and through Jesus Christ and God. I am grateful because what I think is impossibly large is so insignificant to God and God's grace. And then he goes on. And he says, not only am I grateful for you, Timothy, but I ask that you delight with me in the work of being an apostle. And he says, look, I'm not going to pull any punches with you, Timothy. We are called when we are apostles to suffer, and suffer in ways that we cannot imagine. Does anybody know how Paul suffered a little bit? Okay, how did he suffer? Someone give me something that had to happen to Paul. What? He went to prison, right? And what happened? Did they just let him sit in a chaise lounge in prison, Jen? He was in shackles, right? But what did he do when he was in prison? He prayed and he sang hymns, right? Okay, what else? What other crazy thing happened to Paul? He was shipwrecked. And when he was shipwrecked, what happened to him?
He was saved,
and not only that, but then he was able to preach the gospel to the people that saved him. Exactly. So he says, look, suffering is going to happen to you if you think about it in terms of the world, right? Bad things will happen to you. But he says, all of that suffering is as not, because guess what? It was just an invitation to do more of the work that God called me into. Right, I was put into prison. I sang hymns and people were brought to the Lord. I was shipwrecked and I was bitten by an asp. And guess what? People came to the Lord. Not my doing, it was God's doing. I was on the job with the Lord. And he says, I ask you to not be ashamed of the suffering that not only I have gone under, but that you will have to undergo as you do the work of evangelism with me, the work of claiming who we are in God. And he says, when you realize that the suffering is as nothing, that the vocation of being called by God to do God's work cannot be in some way stopped by the world's suffering that it puts up to you, when you realize that, you realize that anything is possible with God's grace. Not because you desire it, not because the ego desires it, but because you're at work for something larger than yourself. And this is the kicker that Paul brings to Timothy and to us. And it's this. You want meaning in your life? You can't just do what the ego wants. Trey, how long were you in the military? 29 years. Okay. So if the military were only made up of generals who wanted to do what they wanted to do, what type of military would it be?
There wouldn't be,
right. Does the military need lance corporals? Does the military need privates who clean the bathroom? Does it need helicopter pilots who are majors and captains? All right. So it needs all of these people working at purposes larger than themselves, right? Right. What was the great thing about being in the military for you?
The unity.
The unity. That which was larger than myself. Myself and a whole bunch of other people are going to work at something larger than themselves. And this is exactly what Paul is telling Timothy and to us here today. You want your life to be about something? You want your life to mean something? You better be at work at something larger than yourself. Well, what do you want to be larger than yourself? How large do you want that thing larger than yourself, Elaine?
Real big.
How big is real big, Virginia?
Bigger than we can imagine.
How big is that, Roddy?
Bigger than a pyramid.
Bigger than a pyramid. Even bigger than a ziggurat, right? Okay. What Paul is saying is this is the largest thing to be at work for is God's love. There's nothing greater than it. If you want your life and to mean something at all, it's got to be at service for that which is larger than anything else, larger and more capacious, and that is God's love in and through Jesus Christ. Now, Paul pulls no punches. That will take you to places that you would have never gone by yourself. Trey, would you have gone to Afghanistan Would you have booked a one-way ticket to Afghanistan?
Never.
Never. How long were you there?
All total 2 years.
2 years, right, right. So you went somewhere that you would never have gone by yourself. And that is what Paul is talking about with Timothy. We don't just go where we want to. We go where we are called to, and we are sent by the Lord for that which is larger than any of us could have chosen on our own. In fact, my wager is this, that you came here this morning because you wanted to participate in something larger than yourself. Brennan, what if all of these choristers just sang what they wanted to sing?
That wouldn't work.
Who do they have to listen to? Me. Yes, Brennan says they've got to listen to me. Right? He said, one Lord, one faith, one choir director. And that's what Jesus is saying to each and every one of us. One Lord, one faith, one Jesus. I think you all came here to be part of Team Jesus at work for God's love, which is so much greater and more vast than anything the world has to offer. Working for the Lord, all things indeed are possible. Amen.